number two, Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game here on this Tuesday. Having fun. Week of Thanksgiving. We say hello now to Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst and the head coach of the Innsworth Tigers. Tim, how you doing?
Doing great. How are you guys doing?
We're doing fantastic. Before we get into today's current topics, I want to ask your opinion, because Joe and I were just talking about this. I guess the Hall of Fame, is it semifinalists that we're at now?
Or yes.
Whatever? Yeah, that have come out. And Jason Witten is one of those guys. I feel, Joe feels, Witten should be a lock to be in the Hall of Fame. Now, whether he's first ballot or not, I don't know. I think he's a Hall of Famer. We've had a few people argue with us that he is not. Looking at a lot of his numbers compared to guys like Antonio Gates, Tony Gonzalez, I think he's second in receptions and receiving yards amongst tight ends all time. He's a Hall of Famer in my mind. What do you think?
Yeah, I think it's a no-brainer. I mean, no-brainer. When you mention Gonzalez and Gates, like, those guys are no-brainers. I mean, in terms of how long they played, in terms of the production, like, to me, I don't even – you know, I think some guys, you know, there's a little bit of a debate because it's like, wow, look, it's rarefied air. It's hard to get in and all that stuff. Jason Witten, in terms of how long he did it and the level and the production and the fact, too, like, you know, and some of these for tight ends, obviously, you know, Gonzalez and Gates were really primarily receiving tight ends. You know, Jason Witten was – in comparison to the three of, you know, the three of those guys, he was much more a, you know, all aspects of playing tight end.
How do you think they handle quarterbacks with Rivers, Eli, and Drew Brees all being up for it this year?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know how you don't let Brees in the first go. I mean, just in terms of Super Bowl wins, stats, again, longevity, those types of things. I don't know how Brees doesn't make it right away. Rivers, because he never won a Super Bowl, would probably be the easiest one to, you know, have on the outside looking in, especially when you consider, you know, there's not a ton of people that have ever played the game that have multiple Super Bowl rings as a quarterback, you know, which, you know, certainly gives Eli's, you know, case a lot of strength. I could see Eli not getting in on, you know, the first go round, you know, just because of, you know, probably sheer, you know, numbers and production and things like that. I do think eventually he will be in, but my guess, to make it longer than it needed to be, I would rank them, you know, Brees, Eli, then Philip Rivers.
You've been on football because of your wonderful father and the career he had. Who was your favorite player growing up?
You know, my favorite player growing up was, it kind of varied. But, you know, for a while it was Mark Bavaro, because I think I maybe told you guys in the past, like, at the end of my dad's career, Mark Bavaro was drafted by the Giants. And really my dad was kept around by Parcells to be a mentor to Mark, and Mark actually lived with us, you know, his rookie year. And, you know, we were old enough because, you know, my parents had us, you know, early enough in my dad's playing career that, you know, Matthew was in middle school. You know, I mean, I think I was probably, I don't know, at least 10 years old when my dad was playing for the Giants. So we were old enough to have a sense of what was going on. So we loved Mark Bavaro. And then, you know, I think as we started, you know, playing quarterback, it was, at least for me in that time, it was hard not to become a big John Elway fan.
Oh, I absolutely. Also, your dad played with one of my favorite players of all time, Russ Francis, who I think one of the greatest tight ends. He's not going to get mentioned, like, you know, in the pantheons of the Wittens and everybody else's. But, I mean, those guys, Tim, back there were just larger than life. And it was really cool to watch all these guys play and everything like that. It was just, I mean, football is still a special thing, but being around those guys like you were, I mean, it's like, did you ever pinch yourself, like, when you look back now, like, holy cow, that was really cool?
You know, it definitely is cool, as, you know, the older we get and realize the special opportunity it was. But as a kid, you don't know anything different. Look, when my dad, you mentioned Russ Francis, you know, my dad always spoke really highly of Russ Francis, just his ability and things like that. And so he was with him in New England. He was with Todd Christensen at the Raiders. Ooh. And he was with Steve Jordan at the Vikings. And he was with Mark Bavaro at the Giants. And, you know, those are just the tight ends, never mind the, you know, the quarterbacks. And, I think it's something now. Look, for we were getting ready to play Baylor, and, you know, Archie Manning sends me a text message, you know, ahead of the game, obviously with his family connection to Baylor now. And so I think I look at, you know, kind of how we grew up, what we were connected to. You know, I always joke it was, you know, it was Mr. Grogan, not Steve Grogan, right? And that's just kind of how, you know, how we grew up, and, you know, definitely thankful for it.
I always wanted you to wear a neck roll like Steve Grogan wore, if you could go back in time.
I mean, I think he chewed nails. He was so tough. But yeah, I kind of laugh about it a little bit, because, like, even with my own kids, you know, I'd just be like, you know, when, you know, like Tannehill's in town, and it's just like, all right, like, so does we need to teach them, like, just like we would if you saw you, it would be like Mr. Dubin. It'd be like, well, this is Mr. Tannehill. This isn't Ryan. So, right. You know, Ben Jones has kind of ruined that, just because he's just become Coach Ben for us at Ensworth.
Yeah.
I think really you don't think anything of it until you look, you know, you're, I guess, old and bald, and you're like, that was pretty cool.
Every day. Chase and I, Tim, had a great discussion yesterday about Cam Ward. We're sold on him. After what we saw Sunday when he had no help and just kept that football team in the game, we want to get your thoughts about his performance Sunday, because he had no time to throw. He was running for his life, and he was making plays. And I just think that's a warrior, and that's the kind of guy I want leading my football team.
Wait a second. So – we just needed one game to be sold. That's all we needed.
Well, it's a collection.
Yeah,
I think my thing, and we've talked to you about this, is it's not as much about the wins and the losses. It's is he getting better, and are the young guys that you've brought in to build with him getting better? And Sunday, to me, even in a loss, was an example of the answer to that is yes.
Yeah, I think that's fair. And, you know, the numbers on the day were, you know, respectable. And I think everybody knows that, you know, he's doing it with, you know, not guys that would you just take around the league and would be starter at all of those other places. I do think there was, you know, against a good defense, you know, I think there was a competitiveness and a and then certainly the ability stuff that you could feel encouraged by. So I agree with you guys on that. Now, look, there's still some of the stuff that we talked about last week where it's like, okay, here comes a little sidearm throw, ball's batted down. You know, here's, you know, an unnecessary, you know, in terms of holding on to the football or like taking a hit unnecessarily or those things like that, you know, I can't say that I came away being like, oh, that was a perfect game, but I think it was good, and I think there was definitely promise. I still feel like, and it's really unfortunate that this is the case, much like Trevor Lawrence's rookie year was just a complete, like, reboot, start over in year two, I really feel like that's going to be the case for Cam Ward. And I think the thing that you maybe hope for is that, you know, when you think about Brian Callahan's tree, you think about, you know, maybe where the next coach could come from, something being similarly aligned in terms of terminology or something like that would probably be helpful to a young quarterback.
Tim Hasselbeck is with us. We will have more with him coming up next. Chase and Big Joe on this Tuesday, 102.5 The Game. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game on this Tuesday, continuing with Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst, joining us now on the program. Look, we kind of talked about teams and their playoff chances yesterday. Dallas had an exciting win, a come-from-behind win on Sunday against the Eagles. I think it's too little too late for the Cowboys, barring any kind of big help. But what do you think?
I think you're probably right sitting there at
5-5, and I guess, you know, they got the tie too. You know, one thing I never really have a grasp on is like how helpful that tie is as you get late in the year. I just say that, like, I forget who it was a few years back. It might have been Philadelphia, you know, when McNabb didn't know that you could end games in ties. But, like, where, you know, those things end up helping. I do think one of the things that's interesting about them in general is that they've gotten better defensively. And, you know, I think when you look at them defensively, like, if they can hang in there and give them a chance – they can be really good on offense just because, like, just take this past weekend. CeeDee Lamb played terribly, but it didn't matter because they do have balance in terms of being able to run the football. George Pickens is a monster right now. And so, you know, I think that that's what's interesting. And, you know, I'm sitting here just looking at their remaining schedule. So do we think that 9 wins with a tie would be enough?
I mean, it depends on what everybody else does. I mean, you got Green Bay, Detroit, and then Chicago. I mean, whoever takes that division.
Yeah,
and then...
I do think the Week 18 game between Chicago and Detroit will likely determine the division. And to your point about Green Bay, like, they've got a tie also.
Yeah.
Right? I have that if I'm
Well, like, the West is probably getting 3 teams in, right?
Yeah, I mean, potentially, but, like, let's play this out for a second, okay? Just looking at their schedule. Week 18, the Giants. Like, Dallas should win that game.
Yep.
They got the Commanders week 17. That's a game they should win.
So 7-5
and the Chargers, who can't block anybody. They've got the Vikings, you know, and they have 2 games coming up where it's, you know, Kansas City and Detroit, you know, both, you know, 2, you know, difficult games. But, like, they could lose their next 2, win their next 4, and maybe be in. And so I'm not ready to write them off yet, I guess, is the long and short of that, because I do think that as we sit here kind of at this point, you know, going into whatever this is, week 12, week 13, that you look at it and you go, okay, well, like, wow, look at them. Just take the Bears for the example. You brought them up. Their schedule is not easy going forward. You know how many teams they've beaten with a winning record?
One.
And you know who it was? It was this weekend against the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Oh, wow.
And who was their starting quarterback?
Yeah, Mason Rudolph.
That's the only team with a winning record that they have beaten. So when they have a hard schedule down the stretch, which they do, you know, and then you look at it and you go, well, wait a second, like, where are they going to end up? Now, they've got so many wins now, like, they're sitting there at 8 wins now that they're probably good. But just hear this out. Philadelphia, Green Bay, then a Cleveland Browns who, you know, have a really good defense. Green Bay again, San Francisco 49ers, Detroit Lions. What if they only win one more game?
That's a good point.
That's a brutal schedule.
Yeah. Yeah. And that could certainly factor in. I mean, look, that's why you got to play the games. And the NFC, I think, is pretty intriguing right now because things are so jumbled up that, you know, we're still not quite sure, you know, how it's going to play out. I think if you look at the AFC, I mean, but how concerned should Buffalo fans be right now?
Yeah, I think Buffalo needs. Well, Buffalo's not going to win the division because of, you know, the already head to head and the you know, the team that's got to be more concerned than them is obviously Kansas City, and I think you can kind of point to those teams because of what the expectations are. Like, at least with Baltimore and kind of the scenario that they found themselves in, you know, they can very easily win their division. You know, they're going to at least have, you know, one home game if that happens. You know, Kansas City and Buffalo, the expectation is not, hey, you're playing on wild card weekend, and by the way, you're doing that on the road. Like, that has never been, you know, the standard of what they expect. And look, just take Kansas City as this example. Okay. So, They lose Trey Smith in the game to an ankle, so we don't really know what his health is. Rashee Rice looked like he pulled his hamstring in the game this weekend. So while they won and, you know, they're hanging in there, and they are a team that I could see getting to 9-10 wins because of what their remaining schedule looks like. Are you healthy or are you just so banged up? And then you get in the postseason, are you so banged up? So that's the – look, I'm not writing them off because they're Kansas City. But, yeah, it's a much different path, just like it will be for Buffalo to, you know, not be playing in Buffalo and being on the road.
Talking to Tim Hasselbeck on the Chasing Big Joe Show. Tim, in your great in your analysis, who is the best pure passer in the National Football League?
Right now?
Yes, sir.
Matthew Stafford.
That's who I thought he was going to say. I think that's a good answer.
And I'm going to ask why, but I know why.
Yeah, I just – he sees it so well. You know, part of it is the experience. I think part of it is also, like, still where he is physically. You know, a guy that would be high on the list would be Jared Goff. You know, those would be guys that I would have – you know, very high on the list. I do think that when you look at guys like Allen or Mahomes, guys like that, I think their game is a little bit different. Not to say that they're not amazing passers. They are. But, you know, there's so many different elements to their game that people have to defend that changes things in terms of, you know, what you – like, no one's spying Jared Goff, I guess, is, you know, kind of where I'm going with that. No one's spying Matthew Stafford. A lot of times people are like, look, we're playing coverage, man. Like, that's what we're doing, which is why it's important for those guys to be on teams that do have some balance to run the football. But their ability, when you know you are going to be passing the football, to still be able to do it at a high level is really impressive.
Your thoughts on Bryce Young? I thought last night, when he's got a little bit of time, he throws a great pass. I mean, and they're right on. I know the interception late in the game where they held the receiver, which is not really his fault. But, yeah. I mean, he just – 2 years ago, everybody's like, this guy's the worst number one pick of all time. And now watching him now play, it's fun, it's exciting, and I think he's going to develop into a really good quarterback. But you know more about that than I do.
Yeah, I mean, I think that he can definitely play at a starter level. Like, I don't – like, I would agree with that. You know, I do think that – and some of this is his size – strength and things like that, I think they'll always be like, he'll always be a tier down from, you know, some other guys a little bit the way that Tua, you know, is viewed little bit the way that, you know, Kirk Cousins was probably viewed for a long time. I think that he probably, you know, finds himself in that, you know, in that area. And so does that mean, you know, he's not a starter or can't play at a starter level or anything? Like, no, it doesn't mean that. But I do think, like, for it to go well, I think that it'll have to be really, really around him. And look, it's not a knock. You know, I think you could say that for a lot of quarterbacks that I think are really good players, but that's definitely how I would kind of assess where he is. He's certainly not a bust, and he's certainly not, you know, somebody that you're like, hey, we can't win with this guy. If you had to redraft things over, would he be the first overall pick? Like, I still don't think that he would be.
He is Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst, joins us every week. Tim, happy Thanksgiving to you and the family. We always appreciate you, and we'll talk to you next week.
Yeah, appreciate you guys. Happy Thanksgiving to you guys as well. See ya.
See ya. Tim Hasselbeck joining us on the program. Coming up next, one of our buddies, Jeff Jarrett, AEW superstar, Nashville or Hendersonville's very own, is going to join us in studio. AEW will be at the Pinnacle tomorrow night. We'll have your chance to win tickets to that, and also we'll talk to Double J coming up next. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, The Game.